It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for being tuned in. All my people here in Georgia with me, people in New York City with our producer Chris Persianen, people in San Francisco, the new home of Rafael Devers, people in Oklahoma City, well, the home of the NBA Finals, where the Pacers are trying to stay alive or trying to win this game against OKC. You could be in Sunrise, Florida, where the Panthers are trying to win a championship tomorrow, hoisting that Stanley Cup. You could be in a lot of places, but I'm glad you're here with us. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You could tune in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you got yourself a smart speaker, you can ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. There's so much going on. So much to do. Been here for a while. If you missed a minute or a second of the show, you can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Hey, thank you so much to Keith Law for joining us from The Athletic to talk about Rafael Devers and the return of Giancarlo Stanton. And so we've had a jam-packed Monday, especially coming off of what was a jam-packed weekend. And so we got more to get into here as we continue on the final hour of the show. Of course, at the end, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We'll have a chat about a returning legend to his respective sport. It's a competition. I'll tell you about that in about 20 minutes. So we have had a busy show here. Talked about Devers' trade and Baines' trade, the return of Otani, the return of Stanton. And there's a lot going on. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. You can call. Here it is. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I'm on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. Hey, let me give you an update on a few of the things going on in the world of sports right now. Oklahoma City leads the Pacers this minute 23-16. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 7 points, Jalen Williams with 6, Chet Holmgren with 5. And meanwhile, you take a look at the Indiana Pacers side, Tyrese Halliburton, 0 points, Pascal Siakam, 6. OKC with an opportunity and a chance to go up here in this series, 3-2. The score right now, 23-16. Let's take a listen to Tyrese Halliburton before the game, obviously, and earlier media availability. Tyrese Halliburton was asked about that final loss just a couple days ago before they got here and whether or not they'll be able to turn things around. Mr. 0 points right now this minute, still early in the game. Listen to Tyrese Halliburton.
Once you get to the playoffs, I don't think it's so much about flushing things because you really got to take every game, see where you did well, see where you could do better, and learn from that. So I think in the regular season, it's different. You play 82 games, play a team game 10 that you probably don't see again until game 60. So it's just like, all right, flush it and move on to the next. In the playoffs, it's a little different.
Yeah, you're just staring at that same team over and over and over and over and over again. And speaking of returns, wow. Well, this guy, he's returned. New York Yankees are currently playing the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. There's no runs up on the board for either team. And Giancarlo Stanton, he made his return. And as it stands right now, he has a 1 strikeout and 1 hit. What is he returning from? Well, this is what CBS Sports HQ said earlier today.
So we got some breaking news out of Major League Baseball, where Yankees slugger Giancarlo Stanton will make his season debut against the Angels. That's according to SNY. The former MVP has missed the first 70 games of the season with double tennis elbow. Stanton will return to a Yankees team that has the second best record in the AL, trailing only the Tigers. First pitch tonight for Angels-Yankees is set for 7:05 Eastern from the Bronx.
Okay. Wow. Well, I told you, he got a strikeout tonight, and he got a hit. So, 1 game down, and God only knows how many else, because this guy is just, He is a doctor's dream. Okay, and I'm not saying that in any good way, shape, or form. He is he can't run the first base without pulling a calf strain, and then he goes out for 2 weeks, and now it's his elbows. Okay, well, let's see how long he lasts. Also tonight, this is going to be pretty cool. Shohei Ohtani making his return. This guy has not pitched on a mound in 2 years. He's actually going to be making his debut as a pitcher for the Dodgers. Feels like Shohei Ohtani's been a Dodger forever, and now all of a sudden he's actually making his pitching debut. It's easy in a little way to even remember this guy throws the baseball, okay? And he's expected to only go out there and give you an inning. He's going to be an opener, and something is better than nothing. And so Ohtani will be on the mound tonight against the San Diego Padres. Shohei Ohtani making his debut. We can forget about the 50-50 seasons. That was pretty much the one-off last year, knowing that he did not have to put his arm at risk last year because he would not be pitching. And so Shohei Ohtani going out there getting the job done. And thank you so much again to our guest early in the show. Keith Law from The Athletic came through and had a chat with us. And it's just like, man, you look at the Dodgers, despite their injuries and everything that they've dealt with, they're still one of the best teams in baseball in a stacked division. And then we all know what took place yesterday. Last night, pretty much before the game, we found out that Rafael Devers is moving on. That old quitter from the Boston Red Sox who didn't want to switch positions, didn't want to move. Juan complained about it. Now he's a member of the Giants. This is what they played last night before the game on ESPN.
The San Francisco Giants and the Boston Red Sox have made a massive deal, sending Rafael Devers, Boston's third baseman, who signed an 11-year, $331 million deal. He'll go to San Francisco. Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, who was supposed to start tonight, is also reportedly in the deal. This is an earth-shaking move by both of those organizations. And let's get the thoughts here of David Cohn, Eduardo Perez, and shortly Buster Olney. Of course, Rafael Devers has been in the news. He was the third baseman. The Red Sox acquired Alex Bregman. They made him a DH. There was discussion of moving him to first. Now they've moved him to San Francisco.
Yeah, boy. I never thought I'd see a 10-year, $313 million contract be moved, but there you have it. And in all things really considered, it's only 30 mil. And I know, I don't. When guys are out here now making 40 mil and 70 mil, I don't care how much his contract is deferred, I guess 30 mil for Rafael Devers is not all that bad. And I assume if I got to weigh out the law of averages, is he going to be a jerk? Is he going to be a jerk like he was up in Boston? Probably not to that same degree. I can't imagine him all of a sudden waking up and maybe the Giants would even know better. Let's not even ask the guy. We're in a completely different space. Chris, do you think, and 8 years is a long time, but do you think, and of course as he gets older, I can't imagine, we've seen the worst of Devers, no? What did you think so?
At least from an off-field standpoint, I want to think, at least maybe hopefully, yes, we've seen the worst of Devers. In terms of his play, man, I don't want to say we've seen the worst of him for the rest of this deal.
Talking about his
that's
play.
That's how aging works, right? That it gets worse as it goes?
I'm not talking about his play. I'm talking about his attitude.
Okay, yeah.
Like, off you can field, be a diva. You can wake up. You can have an attitude. You can refuse to do this. Are we going to see deja vu with the San Francisco Giants, or is he just going to be on his, hey, I'm out of Boston now, it doesn't matter to me, and, you know, he's just good cop. He'll be DH. He doesn't complain. Do you think he can top what he just did with the Red Sox?
I think he can. I don't think he will. I know he can, but I don't think he will. I think guys tend to learn the hard way from fan response and reaction that sometimes them cutting a corner or two will not always go unconsequenced, even if it takes their Instagram comments to teach him that.
You think he cares what the fans say or think or feel? You think he cares?
I think he has shown that he does not. I do know that eventually even a straw can break the camel's back. So we'll see, maybe, if he continues to raise tensions wherever he goes. I think at some point that guy probably realizes he's the pressure changer in the room.
Yeah, I don't think the guy, that most professional athletes, I don't think they care. Like, I mean, to a certain degree, the answer is yes. I think as a human being, you care. I think as a professional athlete, someone who lives their lives publicly, someone who has to go out and, you know, perform publicly and get messages and DMs about, hey, if you suck, you're blowing my parlay. To a certain degree, these guys care. Now, I think there's a part of you which understands I'm going to suffer massively. Like, my brain, my mental side of things is just going to be in a horrific position if I just let everybody's opinion kind of block how I feel. And I think we have certain athletes who are in different spaces of their lives. Maybe they care more than others. I mean, if we look at McCain with the 76ers, this guy is living out his life on TikTok and has. Now, he's obviously adjusted that a little bit being in the NBA. And who knows, if he's in a league in another 15 years, is A, TikTok still going to be relevant? Is he going to be in a place where he goes, man, why am I on TikTok? I just need to be playing basketball. I don't know. We got Angel Reese. I mean, she's talking about me bounds, and people are making fun of her for missing shots and putting her own makes and putbacks. And now she's just like, oh, well, I'm going to try to make money off of this. So there comes a point in time where it's, how much do you care? Do you not care? Or have we officially moved into the sports generation where they're too sensitive and they do care? If I'm Angel Reese, God bless you, you can make money. If I'm her, and I'm not her, but if I'm her, given who I am, I'm like, man, can we just go out here with some basketball games? But if you're her, like, you can't go on social media and complain. And then whine, and then make money, and then complain about the attention that you get. Like, there comes a point in time where you have to be cognizant of what your actions are and the response that you get back. And so Rafael Devers, I've never heard the guy deliver a full interview in English. And so I highly doubt that he cares what anybody in Boston says. I think that's quite apparent. He didn't give a damn what management asked him to do. And now he's in San Francisco. As long as he can go out there and swing the bat for the Giants, what is there for him to complain about? But I don't think too many athletes care. Now, Kevin Durant, I think he used to care. He still does. He's on social media going back at fans. But I think even in that regard, in a lot of cases, he is just out there being a troll. Like, that's what he does at this point in time. It's just a wild, wild world that we live in. And we're moving into a different era. Like, I don't know. Maybe one day teams will request that players limit social media. Can you do that? I don't know if that's a fight that anybody wants to do or wants to have. But when you have players who just grow up with cell phones in their hands, it's just a complete daily part of life. Ouch. Ouch is the word. And good luck. Chris, do you see it that way? I know you're not too far out of college and out of school. Do you think that social media has or could continue to be a detriment to some of these athletes?
I think it's, I mean, everything can be a detriment if it's not indulged in or utilized in or whatever it is in moderation, right? We've all heard the sayings about that. To me, JR, I think you're seeing a new generation of athletes. And I think the reason that a lot of people, and maybe this is just because I'm 23 years old and very firmly Gen Z, you know, but like, I think you're seeing athletes a lot of times be seen as super sensitive when in reality they are just insecure and as insecure as they should be, given that they've been growing up in a world where, you know, JR, like Jerry West to Magic Johnson to even, you want to go all the way to Kobe Bryant, when they were growing up playing basketball at the high school, college level, yeah, after a big game, they'd maybe see something in a column, But they could also mostly drown it out, keep the TVs off, all that. Now, social media, I mean, these guys can't, if they pick the wrong outfit to get on the team plane for a road trip, they don't stop hearing about it for 3 weeks. One time, David Shepard here at the Infinity Sports Network ate some tuna on camera between segments of a live stream, and it's like months later and people still comment about it in his chat. Like, everything is forever on the internet, you know, whether you're Shep having some 4 a.m. tuna or you're Chet Holmgren with an all-time bad outfit, like, these guys never hear the end of it. So no matter what you're doing now in this social media era, I do think it breeds insecurity.
Now, you said there was a word. You said it's insecurity, but not what?
You described it, and it's not, I'm not saying you're like accusing these athletes, but like, these athletes nowadays are seen as sensitive, right?
Sensitive. So yeah, oh, that's what it is. So what's the difference?
I guess go ahead. No, you finish your, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, what's the difference between being sensitive and then also being insecure? I'd couple the two of them together.
I would say it's like squares and rectangles. Like, all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. Like, if you're insecure, it's going to lead to you being sensitive. But some people are just sensitive because they're overly sensitive. They're not insecure about anything. To me, if you're insecure, that's like the root of the problem. That's what leads to your sensitivity. That's what leads to your hypersensitivity up to any criticism of you.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and burn all the phones. And you think about athletes and the space that they're in right now. These athletes have come up in the social media era. Like, they've grown up with highlights. They've been grown up and bred to be patted on the back. They've grown up in a me space, put the camera on me. Like, everybody wants to be on camera. And it's such a great tool, the internet and social media. It's amazing what you can do with the world at your fingertips. But what people have done in a lot of cases is use it more for entertainment. It might as well be the television. It might as well be the radio. But it is the biggest fire hose that we have on planet Earth. I think I'm most certainly, we already have more phones than we have humans. Okay. And the fact that people have so much access to anything at every point in time is just, it could be a good or it could be a bad. And I think we've just kind of bred and built an era where it's, hey, me, and who cares about anybody else? And we see that all the time still today in the world of sports. So I have no idea how this is going to continue to develop. It's one thing, and I think it's great to watch all the players and the athletes during the games. But some of the stories and activity that we get off of the court, away from the field, just will make you pull your hair out. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break when we come back. I told you there is a, and I guess part of this you can also thank social media for, there is a champion. There's a star returning to his respective sport. I'll tell you who it is on the other side of the break. And then I'll give you an update on what's going on between OKC and the Pacers. Let's just say right now for the Pacers, they may have more to worry about than just the score. Looks like Halliburton's leg issue is still an issue. I'll talk about it on the other side of the break. You're locked in and listening to the JR Sport Re-Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Re-Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, right now down in Oklahoma City, the Thunder lead the Indiana Pacers 44-32. Keep in mind, this series is tied at 2 games apiece. OKC, if they win at home, they go up 3-2, which gets them one step closer to winning the NBA championship. And also right now, I told you about Tyrese Halliburton. 0 points here. Pascal Siakam carrying a heavy load right now, leading the way with 10 points. Ben Mathurin and TJ McConnell with 5 points apiece. But Halliburton, 0 points, 0-3 from the field, 2 assists, 0 rebounds. He had to run to the back briefly because of his leg. Limped around, was feeling with that leg, came out with a brace on his back as well as something to warm his leg up. We know earlier on in the season, not season, actually, this series 2 games ago, Halliburton was limping around and was asked about it, said he was fine, said there was no issue. Performed like there wasn't one. But when it comes to leg issues, man, you start cramping up, got a strain, get a pull, could turn into something worse. I hope that's not the case with Tyrese Halliburton. We know that he's going to suck it up and try to fight through here now that there's only a few games left of the NBA Finals in the season period. I just hope that Halliburton doesn't do it, putting his health at long-term risk. 888-710-4ISN. I am also going to tell you about a champion who will be returning to his sport or his competition. We'll do that in a second. Let's get to the phone lines. Jeremy is calling from Wisconsin. You're on the JR Sport Brief. Jeremy, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to weigh on the Devers situation because, I've heard so much reported about this, and a lot of it has been, fairly negative to Devers, and I can understand why. But I think this is kind of an exclusive thing to the Red Sox.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Like, I think that they signed him to 2 years ago, they signed him to this massive deal and a $300 million contract. You are our third baseman. And then 2 years later, they're bringing in Alex Bregman, and they publicly went on the record saying, like, hey, he's our guy. He's going to be our third baseman. And then they get Bregman, and then they're like, okay, maybe not. And they shipped and they tried to shift him over to the DH spot. He didn't want to do it. He didn't. But he did. Eventually they got him to do it. And he settled into it, rough start at the plate, but then he started coming around and started settling into it. He was doing really well. And now injury at one, which he's never played one ever, as far as I know. And they wanted to move him there. And he's like, no, what are we doing here? Like, I was your guy. You signed into a $300 million contract to be your guy at third base. And now I'm here doing DH and I'm doing well. And now you want to disrupt me. So if they move him to one and it goes sour, he doesn't do well. And then he suffers at the plate as well. Like, then he's the bad guy and everybody hates him. And he's just like, no, I don't want to do that.
So you think the Red Sox are the ones here that screwed up?
I just, as a person who has played ball for a long time, I played baseball for a lot of years, and then Tavern League and softball, of course, as I got older. I mean,
right.
I just know how that goes. You have to look at it from a player perspective. It's like, it's not just cut and dried. I get it. He's a pro. He's getting paid a lot of money. He should be a team player.
Right.
And I know a lot's been made about him using a translator, which, I mean, this is baseball. Like, a lot of them
I don't think anything has to do with the translator. I think overall, I'm not going to agree with everything that the Red Sox have done in the grand scheme of things. But what I will say is this, it just flat and period. He could try. Like, apparently they approached him about potentially, moving around and maybe practicing and fielding ground balls while they were in spring training. And I don't know. I just think at minimum, you can try. They didn't ask him to go out there and be a pitcher, okay? And I get it. Anytime you have to, try a new position, it's going to suck. It's not like, oh, my God, go to left field, or, oh, my God, they're asking me to be a catcher, which is almost an impossible thing to do in the regular season. They asked him, hey, bro, can you go? Yeah, we asked you once, but now we're asking you, can you just go to the field? Like, they're paying him a lot of money. Like, we do have players who would show up and just go, okay, fine, I'll try it. Like, and he's just – he staunchly was – he said no. And it's not even a fact that he said no. He said no and then pretty much tried to embarrass Breslow, the GM. He should know better and this and that. Like, man, there's certain conversations, like, keep that behind closed doors. It was made just into a public spectacle. Well, now we'll see what he does out in San Francisco. I assume he'll be a DH. He'll be left alone. He'll hit a lot of home runs. I mean, they don't have anybody out there, I think, that's hit – 30 home runs and I don't even know, 6-7 years, something like that. So I think it'll work out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bonds is probably the last one to do any major impact there. Right.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. Well, thank you, Jeremy.
I agree.
Appreciate you for calling, man.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Absolutely. You as well. Hey, shout-outs to Jeremy for calling from Wisconsin. Yeah, man, them Red Sox are just like, championship what? Going towards what? And I told you, these NBA teams, they move quick. Desmond Bane has already arrived in Orlando. And you want to know who commented on it? Kevin Durant. As the Orlando Magic posted a video of Desmond Bane arriving at their practice facility an hour ago. Kevin Durant says, man, they heard that dap in Memphis. Desmond Bane saying what's up and hello to everybody in Orlando. Yeah, this is what the NBA wants. Just you know, all types of social media content from everybody not associated here with the NBA Finals. Just what a real shocker. Anyway, I told you that there is a champion that has returned, that will be returning, Joey Chestnut. This man is back at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Last year, he was banned because he had a sponsorship deal with one of these plant-based hot dog brands. Nathan's is just like, we make real hot dogs. You can't be over here making money with them, and then you're going to come over here and eat beef hot dogs on this side? No sirree. But now Joey Chestnut, Major League Eating, which helps sponsor this entire Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, they have a new sponsorship partnership deal. And so, hey, Joey Chestnut apparently is no longer working or partnering with them. And so he'll be back to try to win his 16th hot dog eating contest title. But Letty, is it a title? What, he gets a belt, right?
The mustard belt.
The mustard belt. Oh my God!
I kid you not.
Oh, mustard belt. How come? This is WWE won't even get involved in this, right? They don't do nothing, huh?
I think that would be bad if you made them eat that and then actually go wrestle. I feel like that would be a problem for everyone.
No, I'm thinking about the promotion element of it. No?
Yeah, I mean the grand spectacle of the whole thing, but yeah, I don't know. There's no angle for the wrestling. Because like I said, I don't think they really go together.
Belt.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's not enough there, meat on the bone for wrestling. Right. They need more.
The guy they have do the introductions, he's like got an accent and everything, and he'll be like, we have the great fortune.
Yeah. I've seen him. He looks like almost like the old man in Poltergeist in the elevator. Looks like him.
You're talking about the announcer from the Nathan's event.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He was the old man, funny hat from the 30s. Yeah. Carnival bar.
Straight off the Monopoly box. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck to Joey Chestnut. How many hot dogs do they typically eat? The champion eats what, like 70 hot dogs or something like that?
I forget what his record is. 90 something?
Are you kidding me?
Joey Chestnut's record is 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes in 2021.
I'm way off. My apologies, Chestnut.
Yeah, that's horrific.
He did have, you know, this is off the books. This is off the record. But in a one-on-one competition against Takeru Kobayashi, Chestnut had 83 hot dogs, which is a personal best. But it was not an official Nathan's contest.
Yeah, it was last year when he wasn't allowed. They went one-on-one on Netflix. Yeah, now, see, wrestling should have been involved in that because it's on Netflix as well. See, they should have been all over that one, JR. You're out in front.
Wow. Yeah, that's and Kobayashi, he's retired, right?
I don't know what his deal is. I think he got banned years ago. I think that's why they went one-on-one. Like, he was champ for a while, then Chestnut came in, took the mustard belt from him. And then I feel like Kobayashi got banned for something, but now you're getting into the weeds. And to be honest, I'm shocked I know this much.
He didn't get banned. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was the first thing I was going to say with the mustard belt was, why do you know so much about it? Anyway.
Worked a lot of 4th of Julys.
There we go. Kobayashi was banned, yes, but it was because of a contract dispute with Major League Eating. He wouldn't sign an exclusive deal, which sanctions the Nathan's event, and he hasn't participated since. He also showed up at the competition anyway, and instead of just kicking him out, he was arrested. So this was like real beef. All right, no pun was intended, but I gotta take credit for that one. So pun intended.
He was arrested for what, trespassing?
Yeah, I don't even know, man.
What, do you have a ticket? He can't show up.
I I wish I knew. He tried to join the stage, so he was arrested.
Oh, well, yeah. It's a quick way to get arrested, yeah, doing something you're not supposed to do, yeah.
But if they told, like, Kevin Durant he couldn't play because of his sneaker deal or something, and then he just showed up to a Mavericks...
And tried to step onto the court, he would also be arrested, yes.
Arrested?
If Aaron Judge decides to go play a baseball game that he has nothing to do with and he disrupts the game, you think they wouldn't arrest him?
I feel like they'd like send him to like some dungeon underground the stadium and then like suspend him.
Yeah, those things exist in some stadiums. They are called cells,
but not like the cell that like Marco or I would be in for drinking too much. Like,
okay, I mean, you go to jail on your own. Don't bring me with, with you.
Yeah, bro. It's called trespassing, Chris. It's I think anybody can get got if they're in the wrong place.
Oh, no, trust me, I know. Do you remember the Mets fan that ran on the field after the Johan Santana no-hitter?
Were you going to tell me it was you?
No, it was my cousin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well. All right. You got some good genes there, huh?
Dominicans, man.
Okay. I didn't say anything about where anybody was from, but okay.
Well, no, I'm saying they're good genes because they're Dominican genes.
Yeah. Okay. Terrific. Terrific, terrific. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to wrap things up, talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Okay, but right now, what's going on in Oklahoma City? What's going on in the world of sports? Time for a news flash. Here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are at halftime here of Game 5 of the NBA Finals. OKC leads the Pacers 59-45. Tyrese Halliburton nursing that leg. He has 0 points. Siakam leading the way for the Pacers with 10. Meanwhile, on the other side of things for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 16 points. Jalen Williams leading the way for the Thunder. He has 16. We got Aaron Wiggins and Kayson Wallace, both off of the bench. They each have 9 points. So OKC just kind of pouring it on from everywhere. Everybody going ahead. Let's see if the Pacers have another one of these crazy comebacks in them. Otherwise, we're going to see the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, they're going to go up 3-2 and get closer to a championship. I think that's what's going to take place. We'll probably be stuck at halftime here. That'll probably be where the score will be by the time we roll out in a few minutes. But before we roll out, we need to do this. We need to roll into a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is and has been June 16th, 2025, all day long. Well, if we go back to June 16th, 1975, a gentleman by the name of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was traded to the Los Angeles Lakers from the Bucks. Take a listen to this, courtesy of NBC.
Sometime tomorrow, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will officially become a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Confirming our exclusive report here of 16 days ago, the Lakers will announce that they have acquired the 28-year-old former UCLA star in exchange for center Elmore Smith, forward guard Brian Winters, and Los Angeles' top two draft choices of this year, UCLA's David Myers and junior Bridgman of Louisville. The holdup in the contract talks was the one involving Dave Myers. He's represented by Larry Fleischer, who's the head of the NBA Players Association. Fleischer has finally worked out a deal that will pay Myers $1.5 million over the next 5 years and provide a no-cut contract as well.
Man, well, Kareem Abdul, well, listen, man. Lakers get everybody. We got so much to do. Hey, June 16th, 1996, the Chicago Bulls, they won another one. This time winning the championship. Now, over the Seattle Supersonics, winning 4-2. This was the Bulls' fourth title in 6 years. Listen to this.
We're in the final second. The Chicago Bulls the presentation of the championship trophy in just a moment. An emotional moment for Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that was the marvelous one, Marv Albert on NBC. Let's hit the fast forward button. Let's go to June 16th, 1998. The Red Wings end up sweeping the Capitals to win the Cup. This is back in 1998. They won 4-1. Listen to this.
10 seconds away from successfully defending the Stanley Cup, the Detroit Red Wings. Their bench up, Osgood with his arms up over his head coming out. The Detroit Red Wings have won the Stanley Cup for the second year in a row.
Yeah, that was courtesy of ESPN. Somebody else who was a winner this day. Let's go to June 16, 2002. Tiger Woods. He won a U.S. Open. He won quite a few on this day, like in 2008 and 2006. This one was 2002. Listen.
Tiger Woods halfway to the slam and his second U.S. Open championship. And at Bethpage, he is now the people's champion.
That was courtesy of USGA. Damn, 2002, man. Feels like yesterday. Anyway, hey, June 16th, 2015. This feels like yesterday, even though it's not. The Golden State Warriors, they won their first title since 1975. Yeah, it was in 2015. They beat the Cavs 105-96. Steph Curry went out there, went crazy. Andre Iguodala, he had 25 points, and he walked away with the MVP. Take a listen to Andre Iguodala bestow the MVP award.
It could have been a lot of these guys, but there can only be one MVP. And this year's MVP is a player who didn't start in a single game until these finals. This year's Bill Russell MVP, Andre Iguodala.
Now, boo. Yeah, that was a little surprise when he won it. I didn't anticipate that one. But, hey, not good for Andre Iguodala. He just, he got a finals MVP. Not too many people can say that. Hey, how about this? If we go to July 16th, the year 2022, you want to know who won the championship? The Golden State Warriors. They beat the Celtics. Damn, time flies. They beat the Celtics 103-90. They won the series 4-2. It was the Warriors' fourth title in 8 years. You want to know who got MVP that go-around? Steph Curry. Listen to the final call from ESPN.
And that'll do it. It's over. The Golden State Warriors return to a familiar place. They're on top of the NBA world. The fourth title in 8 years. The Dubs dynasty is still very much alive.
Man, and now they're trying to pick up another one with that Jimmy Butler guy. Good luck. I don't know if that's going to work. See, when Jimmy Butler gets hurt, Draymond gets suspended, they're going to have to add on another talent somewhere if they want to have some success. And there you have it. Those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. Yeah, it's been June 16th all day long. This is right now, this minute, Tyrese Halliburton. Right calf tightness. He was dealing with right ankle soreness after game two. He said he was all good and fine and all good and well. And tonight he's not looking all good and well. Tyrese Halliburton with 0 points here at halftime. OKC leads Indiana 59-45. I expect OKC to win this game. I expect things to just... not go good here for the Pacers. I mean, typically a guy goes down and gets hurt. Yeah, that's how a lot of these series can be decided. I thought OKC would win regardless. Definitely not out here with a busted up Tyrese Halliburton. You can go ahead and pretty much put that one to rest. I'm sure we'll have a lot to discuss tomorrow. The winner of this game will be able to talk some hockey as we get ready to move closer towards a potential elimination. The Edmonton Oilers trying to avoid elimination. The Panthers are trying to win the Stanley Cup for the second consecutive year. And so we have a lot to get into tomorrow. Thank you so much to Keith Law for joining us from The Athletic. If you have missed a minute or a second of this show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can find me all over the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief. Hey, Chris, thank you again for another amazing show. Really appreciate you.
You got it, JR. Always my pleasure.
No doubt. So we'll see what happens with this NBA Finals game tonight. Talk some hockey tomorrow. You can find me everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Let's see who gets traded. Let's see who's angry tomorrow. Let's see what NFL player gets a contract. Let's see if Antonio Brown. Well, damn it, this guy has not a. Yeah, he's still on a loose. A loose. He got a warrant out for his arrest. And this is a crazy world we live in. Anyway, you stay out of trouble. The JR Sport Re-Show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done. It's over. It's a wrap. Don't move. Why? Bart Winkler. He's coming up next.